This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Category. I'd be interested to hear what Brady thinks about Dak and whether or not that's ever going to happen. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But I won't say I've got hugely high hopes that he'll just be the best.
I think
to ever
that's
do it.
Exactly right.
But Tom is not going to go into something unprepared.
Yes,
we know that about him too. He will be well prepared. It'll just be about the deliver. We'll see how good he is. We got much more to do. Second hour, obviously in the rundown, we got to go back through last night. We got to talk about Fade Brad, the way he was able to deliver. Yes, the Golden Goose was delivering again. Losses, we'll do that segment about 12:40 after we talk about last night's game fours and then on to tonight's game fives. That and plenty more to do in the rundown. And then at 1:25, we will have the great Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider. I've really enjoyed his insight every Tuesday about that time. So plenty more to get to in hours number two and three. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. The Wingaroo. Head on over today, including to the newly reopened Mount Moriah store. That is going again and back open at the grand reopening last Friday. Had had the accident out there in the kitchen. The place is brand spanking new. Now is the original location of the Wingaroo. It's where Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball player turned chicken house entrepreneur, it's where he started the business right there on Mount Moriah. But now it's spread because you know how good these wings are. Arlington, Collierville, the Mount Moriah location, Millington, Whitehaven. We're all over town now, and it's because it's not just the fantastic chicken, it's the 22 flavors that Billy has put together like a mad scientist. He did it all himself. These are flavors that he literally tasted and tested in the lab long before he gave them to us, blessed us with them. 22 flavors. My favorite is the Nashville Hot. John's a garlic sriracha man. I got to find out what Brad is.
Lemon pepper?
You lemon pepper?
Of course.
Okay.
Brad, solid lemon pepper.
You're just like my wife. She
yes.
wants the lemon pepper as well.
A little sweet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Billy does it as only he could. They got a great special going on the rest of May. What is it? May 14th?
Yep.
You got 17 more days of May to take advantage of it. $5.99 combo. $5.99 two-piece Guru Leg combo with a seasoned fry or okra. Again, just $5.99. Throughout the rest of the month, you can get it in-store or online at wingguru.com. When you see Billy Richmond, you tell him that Jason and John sent you every day around this time. We do the rundown. Lego.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Last night in the NBA, Celtics Cavaliers. And, you know, we said it after a disappointing game three for the Celtics, that there was a good possibility, you know, after, you know, that loss, and you're saying, my gosh, they just look like they think they can flip a switch. When are they ever going to learn? You got to take care of business. We also said it's a good chance that this series goes like the Heat series did. You lose one game and you win, what do you call that, a gentleman sweep five
yes.
games? Yeah. And it looks like that's what we're going to get. And much to his credit, Jason Tatum has responded with 33 points the last couple of games, again, including last night. He did so, as Jessica Benson mentioned there in the first hour, with LeBron James sitting courtside in Cleveland, who, oh, by the way, yes, without Jared Allen, who they've been without with the rib injury, but we learned there before the game that Donovan Mitchell, who was questionable, yeah. I think, when we talked about the game with the calf, not going to play as well last night. And I guess to some extent you have to give Cleveland credit for making it a fight. They had a chance to get back in the game there late in the game in the fourth quarter. But the Celtics, unlike the Dallas Mavericks, took care of business, whether it was from the free throw line, Jason Tatum hitting shots, you know, making the key plays. Again, Jason Tatum had a big offensive rebound late in that game, ended up going to the foul line. Just all the right winning plays to fight off a game Cavaliers effort. Again, you're without Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen. You make an argument you're not even supposed to be in that game. But they you know, played fairly well, the Cavs did. All that said, I thought toward the end, you know, really showed that Darius Garland is not quite ready for this yet. Right, the experience is not there, and I'm speaking specifically of, you know, Darius had 30 points. He was, frankly, offensively, he was the best thing they had going. Evan Mobley had 19, Caris LeVert had 19. Ooh, and that last bucket was big for Fave Brad Carson. But back to the point on Darius Garland, had to be better offensively, obviously, with Donovan Mitchell out. But there at the end of that game, when buckets down the stretch were critical, and again, maximizing every possession because Cleveland's behind was critical, they had a couple of times Mobley getting switched over to where Derek White is guarding him. And Mobley's got a huge advantage in the post. And every time he caught a Celtics guard, I think he caught Drew Holiday one time in the post, he took advantage of the matchup, getting caught again, catching the Celtics in switches. There was a couple of times, Brad, down the stretch where Mobley is isolated against Derek White. Again, you know, got 5, 6, 7 inches on him, or
he
whatever
can just
it
take
is.
Him on.
And Darius Garland is not recognizing that and getting Mobley the ball.
Right.
Instead, in all the, you know, the huss and fuss of trying to catch up, you know, Darius is trying to get to the goal, shooting the runners and everything else. But that's my point. You know, knowing when to put your foot on the gas, and it's got to be all me right now offensively. Hey, my teammate's out, and still knowing when I got to play point guard here. I got to take advantage of a huge mismatch we've got going on here, and those would be easier baskets than what I'm trying to do. He didn't recognize that last night, and it's, again, not a slight of Darius Garland, but just shows you the different points we are in terms of timeline with the Cleveland Cavaliers and with the Boston Celtics. I thought, again, if you're not watching closely, you just say, you look at the stats, you say, Darius Garland actually didn't shoot the ball that well, but the 30 points, oh, he was great. And a three-point play late there, you know, really almost got Cleveland back in the game, but he was missing some things. And you figure Cleveland's going to do that when you're playing as experienced a team as Boston at this level now in the conference semifinals. So not particularly let down by Cleveland's effort. How could you be with Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen out? Although there at the end, you see, like, again, they've got to get more cracks at this.
Yep.
You know, Darius Garland's got to play at this level, you know, more before he's ready to handle a squad like the Celtics, especially as undermanned as they were last night. But back to the Celtics. I mean, Jaylen Brown, 27 points. You know, again, a Celtics team that looked like it was ready to take care of business. And no, you can't say that in these games where they haven't, again, a loss to the Heat, one loss to the Cavaliers, that that means they're not going to win the title or they're not ready. I just wish I would see this business-like approach from the Celtics more often. And I do think if it's a situation where you are facing a Denver as opposed to a Minnesota or a Dallas coming out of the West, or even an OKC if they do it, if you're facing a Denver, and again, the Celtics know this. They know the quality of team that Denver is. They know they've got the championship DNA over there. They're not going to allow you to have these off games, right? They're going to take advantage of it in a way where, again, you're not going to be able to bounce back like you have against the Cavaliers and like you did against the Heat. But I thought overall a pretty solid performance from the Celtics. Again, it's on the road. You got a chance to close this thing out tomorrow night.
Yep.
My hope would be that you do. And for whatever reason, Jason Tatum has been better, and seemingly we get more of these type of, man, I'm going to take it, you know, by the horns. We get more of these type of performances from him on the road.
Yes.
We need to see it at home for Boston, and they need to close out Cleveland this next game. Get yourself some rest ahead of whatever comes out of Knicks Pacers.
I thought Mazzulla did a good job last night. He used an 8-man rotation. He didn't play a bunch of dudes, and Pritchard played pretty well off the bench.
He continues to be good off the
Pritchard
bench.
Pritchard is a really good guard, but Jaylen Brown and Tatum clearly figured out that they need to be awesome. I know that sounds pretty
obvious.
It's
two straight 33-point games for Tatum. I can't take anything away from him. He's stepped up since game three.
Those two dudes scoring 60 points makes a huge difference. And then for Cleveland, like, I thought LeVert was really good. I thought Garland and Mobley were good, like you pointed out. I thought Garland could miss some stuff, obviously. But Strus was awful, I felt like. There were some plays, especially on defense, where Strus couldn't stay in front of dudes, couldn't stay in front of Tatum. So I just think without Donovan Mitchell in that lineup, they're screwed. I mean, and this is going to be the Celtics are just going to walk through this thing.
Yeah. No, I think it's done, and Celtics would be wise. I said game three. I meant game two, that poor performance. Tatum's been good ever since then. I just think it's wise to go ahead and close this thing out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Get yourself some rest. Hopefully the extra days are good for Porzingis,
yeah,
who it would be good if you can work him back in,
yeah, that's,
to
that's
your point,
point.
On these conference finals, as opposed to waiting on him,
yeah,
until the finals when it's going to be go time, when you're maybe facing a Denver. Be good if they can get Porzingis some run in this in the next series.
The only series I think that they're going to have trouble is the final, and you point this out. Like, if you get the Nuggets, and even if Porzingis is healthy.
The Knicks are just too banged up, it feels like, to give them. The Knicks are fighting. How much fight will they have left if they get past these Pacers, who, again, have won the last two?
Mm-hmm.
If it's the Knicks, do they have enough firepower? Doesn't feel like it, as undermanned as they are. And, oh, by the way, the anchor of their defense, OG Anunoby, is gone.
Right.
And then with the Pacers, it's an experience thing. You know, again, we saw in the first couple of games with the Knicks where you had the game under control, and then it's about winning in the playoffs. Do you know how to win? These last couple of games, good sign for the Pacers, but they showed you in those first two games, by allowing those, in some cases, lead, or you had the pace that you wanted to get away from them, Knicks showed you, here's how you win in the playoffs. See, that's going to show up again,
yeah,
against the Boston. So, yes, I don't think they have any issue,
no,
with either one of the two teams on the other side in terms of Knicks or Pacers. They should be well rested, quite frankly, and having taken care of business by the time they're on their way to the finals. Yeah, real quick, I'll go to the other game before we move on. Last
sure.
night we touched on it. We did so in the open. I really thought Dallas let the opportunity to not just take control of the series, but maybe the series itself on the line last night. Speaking of that free throw line, it was the storyline. The fact that Dallas went, what was it, 12 of 23 from the free throw line, including a big one late that Luka missed that would have tied that game. Again, they were sort of in the same position as Boston, where they had control of the game. You know, that in this case, you know, that teams trying to make a run against you.
Mm-hmm.
Boston had all the answers. In the meantime, Dallas is clanging away free throws. You know, the Derek Lively thing, you've actually got OKC doing a hack of Lively in some instances when he's on the floor. Wasn't just him. P.J. Washington missed a big one, too. And so in the end, in a four-point game,
frankly,
you should have had you should have been in more control of this if you knocked down some free throws. It's as simple as that. You leave that door open.
Yep.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scores 34 points, including scoring or assisting on 20 of the team's final 30 points after being subbed back in with 9:30 left. It was all him down the stretch. Him taking what the defense was giving him. We talked about it. They want to give up fewer opportunities for him at the basket because that's where he lives, at the basket, and thus as a reason at the free throw line. They were making him take that 15-footer last night. He was knocking it down, but also still setting up his teammates. You got to give Chet Holmgren credit. Him and Lou Dort hit some big threes there late. Jalen Williams got away with what I thought was a double dribble on a dunk down the stretch. I think the crew chief, Zach Zarba, said in the pool report that video confirmed officials were correct not calling the double dribble, that Williams never had control of the ball. But I thought that was clearly a double dribble. So if you're on the Dallas side, I'd still be mad about that. All that said, you gave it to them by the amount of free throws that you lost. Again, credit to P.J. Washington, former Team Penny player, played with the Lawsons on a Team Penny team that, my gosh, should have won the Peach Jam. He has stepped up. Last night had 21 points, even though he missed that free throw. 21 points ended up being their leading scorer. Doncic, 18, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. Yeah, the triple-double's great, but the points and the way he shot the ball, not good enough. And then Kyrie Irving, we mentioned it, second single-digit scoring game of the series for him. He's got to be better. We'd said Luka and Kyrie are non-negotiable. Both have to be great for them to win this series.
Yep.
And we said, who's going to be the third guy? Well, what's happened is the third guy has stepped up. P.J. Washington's been pretty consistent, and you're getting inconsistent performances really from Kyrie, but from both, especially in terms of the shooting. The physicality of Oklahoma City has really impressed me. Like Lou Dort going up and not being scared to knock Luka to the ground. I mean, that's the way you got to do it in these playoffs. You know, they act like a team, OKC, just in terms of their willingness to deliver the punishment and then take it. Chet Holmgren got hit in the face by Lively. He just took you had to because they're not even calling it. Right. Their willingness to play that game has really, really impressed me, especially coming from such a young team. But OKC gets a big win there, retakes control of the series as far as I'm concerned, having taken back home court advantage here, now tied 2-2 going back to OKC. I think Dallas in a little bit of trouble, and especially – if Kyrie Irving doesn't get it in gear from a shooting and scoring standpoint. So.
Yeah, and we're going to have the Denver game tonight on 92.9, so that's at 9:30, a late one there.
Excellent.
The early game will be the Pacers-Knicks. By the way, Knicks so far, little tease here for later on this hour when we do Fade Brad. Knicks favored right now in that one. -2.5 is what I had earlier this morning.
Back home, I got -2.5, too. We'll check it during Fade Brad, but I think that's about where that line's going to
nice.
Be.
Very nice. Excellent.
Next story.
So I want to talk about the NBA draft combine, starting with the person who's getting all the friggin' attention, who is Bronny James. Height without shoes is 6'1.5". His overall weight, 210.4. Wingspan, 6'7.25". He recorded a 40-inch max vert, which is when you get off the step. That he also had a great, like, over 30-inch just standing vert. Fourth highest max vert at 40.5
That's
inches
impressive.
For Bronny.
We knew he'd have the big vertical from Dad.
Yep.
Though.
He got the get off
a little
the deck.
Shorter
He's
than
short,
we thought.
Very short. And it, like David Jones, we talked about David Jones from Memphis measuring just 6'3 and a little bit over
that. Well, tell me that weight again. Didn't you say 207?
This is the, it says 210.4.
So the interesting thing about that is that David Jones at 6'3.5 was 211. Like Bronny is a package at what, 2.5 inches shorter. It sounds like, what did you say, 6'1"?
6'1 and
Bronny,
a half,
the official,
without shoes.
So about two inches shorter.
Yep.
He's thicker at 207. If David Jones is 211, as he was weighed in at yesterday. So that's Bronny, thick dude.
Yeah, and he looked good. I mean, he shot it.
Shot the ball well, I read.
But, I mean, before I get to some of these other digits, I mean, Gabe, I saw him tweet about this, and he thinks the whole thing's ridiculous. I don't think it's ridiculous, and a lot of it is LeBron, obviously, but like a lot of college players, it's not a parallel. In other words, a player like Bronny James, there are other players like him. Well, Reed Shepard's a good example of this. He didn't start for Kentucky. It's not linear, in other words. Sometimes, now I'm saying Reed's a different prospect. He's a much higher rated prospect than LeBronny. That's probably a bad example, but you get my point. Sometimes there's a player, Florida State's have several of them, who have been drafted off of their bench, who average 7 points a game, average 10 points a game.
Yep.
They don't even start. Where are you at on LeBron, on Bronny?
And sort of like we said with Jess there, and she used the word that I liked and now would use, I've reached a point of acceptance. I used to be, we're sort of, we're gay, but what he's frustrated by.
I think he thinks it's ridiculous.
I was kind of there, that we're rushing this thing.
I get the thought.
We're making, you know, Woj tweeting about Bronny and what he brings to an organization from the G League standpoint, and how it's more, and how that makes him so attractive that he might be taken in the first round. I understand rolling your eyes at that.
I get
and
it too.
The frustration.
I get it too.
We're forcing it
because
we're
it's dad. It's nepotism.
Right? I get
sense.
That, but yes. but I'm also understanding that I'm at a point of acceptance where I just want to see what the kid can do.
Right.
At this point, because listen, and Jess said this too. He's had all the pressure of the world on him, essentially, being LeBron's son, you know, sort of being primed for this for years. You know, at one point, Gavoni's got him before the heart condition, you know, happens. Gavoni has got him mocked as a lottery pick. He had worked himself up into that. You got to credit the kid, especially with all of that pressure on you, you know, becoming that sort of a prospect. Work had to go into that.
Sure.
You know, he's not, you can be seen because you're LeBron's son. You absolutely will. In fact, you can't run and hide.
Right.
And for the most part, he has performed admirably. Yes, the season got cut short at USC. And so you watch a guy that didn't even average 10 points in the time that he was at USC, and you can ask yourself the question, dude, we shouldn't even be discussing him getting drafted, right? Whether it's first round or second round,
right.
He didn't prove it at the college level. All that said, we know this is different. This is an outlier story. He is the son of LeBron James. He has earned certainly this shot to be at the combine. And if some team's willing to take him, you know, if the Lakers have made it clear they are willing to do it in the hopes of keeping LeBron. But people were joking yesterday on Twitter. I saw it that, man, what if the Boston Celtics, just to get at the Lakers, you know, took him.
Can you imagine?
Took him before.
Just to piss him off?
But my point would be, I am hopeful that this young man can go on and have his own career, whether it's with his dad or not, to start. And I tell you what, I'm not rooting against him, because those are large shoes that he's been trying to fill for a long time. And again, here is what's going to happen. He will never fill them. He will never fill those shoes at his father. And as a son, like, I can feel that. That's tough.
Right.
Right? That you to know that you will never reach that height. Mm-hmm. So what you've got to be okay with and at a peace with is that I've got to be my own guy, not compared to my father.
Right.
And so this is the start of that process. Perhaps, yes, it'll happen this year for him with Woj pushing and everybody else pushing. One of these front offices will say, yeah, come on in. It's probably going to be the Lakers, I would imagine, in some way or form.
Sure.
They're going to try to keep him. But I'm not rooting against him. I'm not rooting for him to fail. In fact, I'm just hoping that he can, at some point, again, whether it's to start with his dad or whatever, carve out his own career. You know, I know how tough it was on Michael Jordan's kids,
right?
Who didn't get close to what Bronny is in terms of the potential prospect he is to the NBA. I just hope he can have a good, solid career that at the end of, he is happy with, that he has no regrets about. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand
that
what you're
didn't
saying.
Just do for dad, and it wasn't all totally controlled by dad. Mm-hmm. You went out and you proved it on your own, and that's what I'm hoping for him. And obviously the numbers yesterday, very impressive in terms of the physical attributes that he brings.
On the brother, sister, or father, in this case in LeBron, I've always been fascinated by siblings and family members who have to live up to the legacy of the best player. The Ripkins went through this because Cal was clearly the better brother. Giannis's brother, Thanasis just blew out his Achilles, ACL. He's always good, and he's on the same team. You have to live up to everybody probably telling you, like, your brother is amazing and you're some dude on our roster, you know. Ripkins, the Anatokounmpos.
The Mannings, Cooper.
Cooper
the
Manning.
One that didn't always,
and
the one that doesn't have a Super Bowl.
Three or four of them. It's like, my gosh, how difficult is that? You're always, and you always get the quote, he was a great receiver. He was probably the best, but injury derailed his whole career. How many times have we heard the story of the lost Manning? So it'll be interesting what happens with his son. I think you have to come to grips with you nailed it. You have to at least tell yourself, I'm going to be the best version of myself. I know that sounds very cliche.
He'll never find peace. He'll never find fulfillment.
If you don't, your life is hard. Like the Jordan kids, I'm sure it was like you're going to Illinois to try to walk on for a Big Ten team, and that's not even good enough, so you have to go down to Florida and play for like.
Would you be a little mad at your little brother, though, Bryce, who appears that he's getting more of the size and the body of his dad than you, the little...
I think that's one of the hardest is when
That must be tough.
When your physical attributes don't get where your sibling is and it's totally out of your control, that's even one of the hardest things.
I want to tell you, like, Bryce is up to, like, 6'4", 6'5".
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm looking at 6'4", on 247.
He's not that old, is he?
I think he's starting his junior year or either his junior or sophomore year.
So he's, you know...
And again, 247's got 6'4", and who knows, you take a couple inches off these guys for shoes, he could be shorter than we think. But I've seen pictures of the two of them side by side, and Bryce has had him for a while on height.
Wow. Yeah,
if LeBron's going to pass it down, you know, if you figure that Bryce is going to be the one that gets
it,
I'd be a little bit mad at little brother. But again, we're trying to hate less in 2024. You know, just take what the gifts that you've been given, man. This 40-inch vertical, some team's going to bring you in.
Yep.
So hopefully, he makes the most out of the opportunity. But I am certainly not rooting against Bronny James. I'm at a point of acceptance.
We saw quickly. I'll go through some of these other analytics from the combine that Reed Sheppard and Dalton Kinect knocked it down from three, and they did the running drill where you're exhausted a little bit or you get a little tired, so they run you to the side of the court
Both of them did pretty well.
Looked
on
good.
That. Yep.
Tallest prospect, obviously Zach Edey, but a little shorter than I think we thought without shoes. He's 7'3" and 3/4". Donovan Clingan, 7'1" and 3/4". Quentin Post was 7 feet tall. Alex Sarr, by the way, if you're counting, he's one of them we're looking at, 6'11". Longest wingspan is obviously Zach Edey. Zach Edey looked good at the combine with the little mid-range, and I thought Anthony Sain hit this right. There is a part of me when you watch him in those videos shooting those mid-range shots where you could see him, if the Grizzlies believe in him, drafting him as a center. What do you think of Zach Edey?
If you're going to draft Zach Edey, if you're the Grizzlies, you have to trade back to do it. You don't take Zach Edey at 9. He will be available much lower. Here's my issue with Zach Edey. For those that believe he's a perfect fit for the Grizzlies as that 5, Zach Edey needs the ball offensively.
Right.
You know, you moved on from Jonas Valanciunas. Why? For two reasons. He, you know, in terms of spacing, he didn't create that. He clogged the lane. You want a guy that creates space, right? But the other thing about Jonas was he needs the ball inside. He wants the ball inside offensively.
Right.
That's what Zach Edey has got. That's what he dominated college basketball with, was a polished offensive game that at that size you could not stop. This team, this Grizzlies team, is not built to slow things down and throw it into Zach Edey.
That's fair.
And again, do you keep Zach Edey engaged on the defensive end if he's not getting the ball? What you need in that spot feels like a rim runner, a guy that you don't have to run anything for, a guy that's going to – Steven Adams, a guy that's just going to offensive rebounds. Set the pick and go. That's what you have, scorers all over the floor. I'm not saying don't draft Zach Edey dropping back or as depth to a front court. I'm with Kenny Smith, and I keep going back to his example that he used on Inside the NBA for what he sees Zach Edey as. He compared it to Yao Ming. Yao Ming couldn't hold up.
Right.
That was a slower league then. It's faster than it was now than it was then, and he couldn't hold up. He sees Edey as a role guy, 12 to 15 minutes, 12, 16 minutes. Maybe that's in a half, maybe not, but my point is he's one of your role guys coming off the bench that, yes, can bring some block shots, maybe provide some scoring for a second unit. I cannot see him running with a Grizzlies team, Brad, whose strength is getting out in the open court, fast breaks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, while he would check some boxes on some things, rebounding, the ability, it's his game that I don't think matches. You don't need a center that's going to be calling for the ball and that you've got to throw it into on this team. You need a guy that's more like Steven Adams in the sense that you don't have to run a damn thing for him. And so that's why I'm not against taking Zach Edey, but it's as a role guy, not as the guy you're going to put next to Jaren to start a year or to start the playoffs. No.
Yep.
Drop back if you want Zach Edey.
The combine runs through Sunday, May the 19th. So it's going all the way through Sunday, and we'll see more of these videos, and we'll get excited about prospects for the 2024 NBA draft.
Next story.
All right, Aaron Rodgers. We know, and we said we'd be getting some leaks on this schedule, this NFL schedule, as it gets set to come out in full tomorrow. He's going to open up his comeback season, obviously, against the San Francisco 49ers, September 9th on ESPN's Monday Night Football. It was announced this morning. We already got that the season opener, the kickoff game on Thursday, is going to be Chiefs-Baltimore, a rematch of the AFC Championship. And you had to figure, you guys. Yes, coming back from a left Achilles tear from last season that happened, his Jets debut last September 11th turned into that season-ending injury for him. I can't remember. It was four plays. It was the fourth snap of the for him.
Okay.
Fourth snap, missed the remainder of the season.
Series.
It was done. And Greeny this morning, professed national Jets fan, was going crazy about how this is going to be like a jinx.
Yeah.
The fact that you're going back on prime time. But what else did you expect? It's Aaron Rodgers. And no, the league didn't forget about him just because he missed the season last year. Remember how big the storyline was in terms of Rodgers to the Jets, them becoming, whether you believed it or not, instant contender with him. That was going to be the question. We didn't forget about him being gone all season long. I'm speaking from the NFL.
Hard knocks.
So best believe. Yeah, hard knocks as well. So best believe they were going to blow him up again as soon as he was healthy. And opening games as far as they go, pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Jets against a San Francisco defense that you could put up against anybody in the NFL. And a great test, a tough test, to be quite frankly, your first one back for Aaron Rodgers, because you figure he's going to have to be on the move in that game. So you get a pretty good test early of what we think of Aaron Rodgers, at least his durability, the ability to move around, because that San Francisco 49ers defense is going to be coming at him. But very excited about not just these opening games, but obviously that full schedule slate of games that comes out tomorrow. And then the other NFL news we talked about a little bit there at the top of the show, Lions making Jared Goff the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL in terms of per year average annual salary, now up to $53 million for him, second only to Joe Burrow's $55 million. Brad mentioned $170 million of his 4-year $212 million contract extension is guaranteed. Detroit, and has now, reading from the ESPN story, rewarded three of its star players this offseason with huge deals, over $444 million in contract extensions to Goff, The wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Penei Sewell, who is the cornerstone of that offensive line, a guy who's probably going to be there for years and years to come. So Detroit spending the money where they had to. These guys have earned it at this point, making the NFC Championship game last year. And, again, you just look at Goff's numbers for any of the doubters that were still left out there. And I said it in the open, that included myself, 4,500, almost 4,600 yards last year and 30 touchdowns with just 12 picks, two playoff victories. It's hard to make a case that, you know, with his time up now on contract extension, that he's not as deserving as, you know, some of these other guys. I mean, Herbert hadn't even done anything.
Yeah.
And he's top five already. And so in terms of what Goff brings to the table, resume, accomplishments, where you expect Detroit to be this year, you can't knock Detroit having to pay him as the next guy up and right now being the second highest paid quarterback in the league. He's earned it to this point. Again, those past yards since the last two seasons, he's second overall. Pass TDs the last two seasons, he's tied for third. TD interception ratio, second. First down percentage, fourth in the league. Those are elite-level numbers, so he deserves the money.
Next story.
Well, I'm going to change my story here because maybe later on in the third hour we can talk about the Memphis AD job, but this is a story that's going to get a lot of attention, so I'm going to change my story, Jason, before we get to the picks, which are going to be losers, hopefully.
Yes.
Matt Norlander is reporting on this story, and Doug Gottlieb has just been hired by Green Bay. And he will be a D1 basketball coach. Now, here's the kicker on this story. It's not just Doug Gottlieb finally getting his dream job or a job in Division I.
Wow.
He's going to simultaneously keep his radio show for Fox Sports, which, as Matt Norlander points out for CBS, is kind of unprecedented. It's not like some coach's show. This is a national radio show that he's going to keep being the coach at Green Bay. He's not going to be at his alma mater at Oklahoma State. He's going to Green Bay to try to start his coaching career while keeping the radio job at Fox, which I don't like that idea. If I'm Green Bay, the deal should be you either do our job or you give up the radio job. You can't have both because there's several things. Number one, your focus. You do a three-hour radio show every day, and it's very hard to do it properly if you can't focus on it and create content and think about what you're doing and put these shows together. You all make it sound easy. It's not easy if you're doing it properly. I think, frankly, Doug can be a little bit of a hot take artist, so maybe it's a little easier for him. But if you're not being a hot take artist, this is a really difficult job that you're doing. So to do that, plus try to design your offensive and defensive skill and put together a staff at Green Bay and coach, I think this is going to be doomsday for Green Bay. What are your thoughts on Doug Gottlieb's new job?
I think if he's truly into and committed to this, his radio show will suffer in some ways, especially based on the way he's done it to this point. And you can't argue that Gottlieb, no matter how you feel about him or whether you agree with his takes, he's been successful in this business, clearly.
Sure. It's helped him probably get the job.
There's no question about it. That said, you're now a college basketball coach who can't, in terms of opining on other coaches.
Listen,
You said a lot of what Gottlieb does is hot take, and it's whether he believes in a coach or not, whether it's a college coach, NBA coach, whatever it is. But he's giving you takes on other coaches. You can't still do that.
You should.
As a college basketball coach, you absolutely have to rein it in. Right. It can't be to the same level that
really
you were
point,
when you're
Jason.
Outside of it. There's a gamesmanship involved, and if you're blasting college coaches while you are one of them publicly, that's not going to be a good
look
for you.
You're actually missing something.
Nobody's going to want to schedule you. You're going to become an enemy of the state, everything else. You obviously have to, and Doug knows that, having been at Oklahoma State, he knows the dynamics of this thing. It's one thing when you were a member of the media,
right?
Throwing opinions at something, but on the outside looking in, it's another thing when you're in there, you've got extra insight, you got your own program, but then you're still sending shots out about hot takes, like you said, about other coaches and everything else. So my point, the folks that listen to Doug, they listen for that,
right?
They appreciate that from him. He won't be able to do it in the same way if you're going to do that. And then naturally, I would just tell you, and Penny Hardaway, that's something we said about Penny Hardaway, becoming a college basketball coach, even going from the high school level, this college basketball coaching thing,
we said it then,
is year-round. It is calls year-round now. It's work year-round. You might want to be on the golf course, kids ready to commit, kids ready to tell you, no, I don't want to commit, whatever it is. My point is it's 24-7.
It's unrelenting.
If you're going to do it the right way, you are always working. And so that's going to be the – if he's the coach at Green Bay – he's going to, if you're going to be doing it right and want to have a successful program, you're going to have to be constantly working at it. Back to your point, you won't have nearly as much time to prep out a show or whatever else. And if you try to get lazy about it, that's going to get noticed as well because you've done it to a certain level up to this point. And so I think one or the other is going to suffer here. That's a fascinating story.
Well, the other
thing is, they're even letting him do that.
What about prospects that you want to talk about that are coming through the high school ranks that are in the Midwest?
Well, if they're unsigned prospects, he can't talk about them publicly anymore.
So your show is you're already missing.
Rules are rules.
Well, but your show's going to miss that then, is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that. You also don't have, because everybody's technically a prospect in some respects.
I mean, I guess technically it's guys that are that they're recruiting that he can't talk on. I mean, I suppose there's loopholes and way around it.
You're
just talking about NBA prospects that now aren't college prospects. But mine, Penny Hardaway, any college coach can't talk about a prospect openly, publicly until those prospects are signed.
Right.
And so, yeah, he won't be able to openly opine on guys that he's after or anything like that. But I'm more so, some of those takes he will have to rein in. You can't be the fireballer, a radio show host that's throwing hot fire at everything and then still be this basketball. You're not going to be able to balance those two things. One or the other or both will suffer.
Well, what if you're the DePaul coach and you're throwing shade on somebody at Valparaiso and you're friends with the Valpo coach and Doug's on here saying, the Valpo thing, it's not going so well.
Yeah.
And then your friend is in your schedule and it gets back to him. I mean, this is going to – I just foresee him having to give up the radio show if he's going to successfully
do it right, why wouldn't you want to do the coaching thing right?
That's fair. And it's a good job. I mean, it's Green Bay. It's a Division I program. It's just as, and it's in a reputable conference. It's not in a Power 5, but so good for Doug. I mean, Doug's been on this station. He was a colleague of Gary Parrish with the CBS network for a while before he went to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug's proven he can do this job. He's gotten himself in a little hot water. He, sometimes maybe stepping into it a little bit with some of these coaches. So, but to the same point, he got this job because of the media job that he's had.
Right.
So it's created an opportunity for him, and we'll see how it works out doing both jobs, Jason.
Real quick, one more before we head over to Faye Brown.
Yep.
Next story.
We mentioned in WNBA season starting tonight, Caitlin Clark's going to make her debut, her official debut, not preseason, tonight. That'll be 5:30 Central Time on ESPN2. Like just mentioned, we're going to be watching the WNBA more so this year just because there's going to be more opportunities to do so. With the Fever and just about every, Caitlin Clark's team and just about every feels like every game they've got this year going to be on some form of national television. So so all of our, in some way or another, whether we're WNBA fans or not, our consumption of the league is going to go up because there's going to be more coverage, obviously. And listen, I'm not going to pretend to be a WNBA expert. If Jess Benson was a 4 out of 10 on WNBA watching last year, which she openly admitted, and we appreciate that, so that's going to go. I'm probably a 1. If that, I might be a 0.5 in terms of going into this year. I figure it's going to go up. And again, we got my Chicago Sky. I've got Camila Cardoza now, got Angel Reese. And so it's not just Caitlin's this class, but the league starting. And as far as the breakdown, your favorite is the Las Vegas Aces, again, going for 3 straight. The New York Liberty, second best odds. And that would be a rematch of last year's finals, I believe, should they choose to, should they meet again. But yeah, that's your WNBA roundup. Season starting tonight. Again, ESPN2, Caitlin Clark making her debut for the Indiana Fever against the Connecticut Sun. We'll be watching more.
So
put it that way.
This morning, unsportsmanlike, this morning show here on 92.9 was talking about this, and they said that no WNBA player has averaged like more than 20 points, 25 points. Do you think she'll average like 25 plus points?
Not the first couple of seasons, because they'll be coming after her.
Because I think fans are expecting, because you saw her for all this time at Iowa just blasting these teams. It doesn't seem like that translates necessarily.
The arrival of Clark has fueled lopsided betting on the long shot Fever and a significant year-over-year spike of interest, obviously, on the WNBA like we talked about it. But this at Sportsbook, Caesars reported a 385% year-over-year increase in the number of preseason bets placed on WNBA. A lot of those bets have been on Caitlin and the Fever, obviously. She's attracted more bets and more money to win the MVP than any other player. There were 15 times as many MVP bets on Clark than there were on Aja Wilson, the favorite, entering the season in ESPN bet.
I wonder if I can do this. Do that on FanDuel?
I don't think FanDuel's got WNBA or not.
I have to look here real quick.
You should. Because so it's not just the viewership and us watching more.
I can take my 15 from Wemby.
It's another opportunity. Yeah, take that 15.
Haven't put that in the bank yet?
No, I already put that in the bank.
I have the 15 in my account still.
Also action at the books, action at the windows that Caitlin Clark is also increasing with her presence
I'll
now
have
in
to
the
check
WNBA.
It during the break.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you can or not on WNBA. No, you can get it up. On plenty of them, but I'm not sure.
FanDuel doesn't even recognize my face. That's how little I've been logging into it because I'm not trying to screw up my bets.
That's how we want to keep you. We want to keep the approach the same, and that's what we're going to do next in Fade Brad. My gosh, he took care of business last night. Brad picked us two losers, so if you were fading him, boom, 2-0 night after last night. We'll tell you where the winning percentage is now if you are fading Brad, and we will get his money-making picks. On tonight's two game fives, got Pacers, Knicks, got Timberwolves, Nuggets, the picks. When we come back, you're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
And now, one of the most anticipated portions of our show, at least it's quickly becoming that, is the segment called Fade Brad. It's a segment that has swept the nation. The nation is amazed at what we've come up with here. Again, an all-original concept. We weren't biting off anybody. We discovered, based on the Jonte Porter betting on himself story, right?
Yep.
We heard about those Jonte Porter limits on DraftKings. How do you get off an $80,000 bet? High limits is how you do it. Typically, you got to be a bad bettor, as John has schooled us on, to get high limits. Mm-hmm. We had checked all of our limits. John has the lowest because he's the best bettor. They don't like him. The books don't like John because he wins too much.
Yeah.
I had the second lowest or
number
case,
two.
Second highest. I think I was like 23,000, which is a good old square.
Yeah.
Pretty high limit.
You're right there.
And then Brad was up there about 80,000 right around Jonte Porter, wasn't it, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, me and Jonte basically are the same.
And what we determined right there was maybe there's an edge in this. Because Brad is so bad at this, we're all squares, but he's America's square.
America's square.
If we flip his picks, how good could we be if we just fade Brad Carson? Ladies and gentlemen, we got another taste. Last night, Brad goes 0-2, and we absolutely love it.
Where are we at on the stats for this thing?
Season record now for Brad Carson.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Okay. Drum roll.
That's good.
Thank you.
21-34. Loser record. 13 under .500. That matches a season high. And right now, Brad, you got a little worried the other day. I heard you talking with Jeff. You were a little worried about your percentage for those that are fading you, that it might drop below 60. Oh, no. We are a nice, healthy, solid 61.8%.
Yeah.
If you are fading Brad, you've got a great, great winning percentage that we would put up against any betting segment in the country in terms of they're trying to pick actual winners. We'd put our percentage of fading Brad up against theirs any day of the week. With that said, let's do Fade Brad.
Your love is fading.
Now it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to Fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
Wow. Very exciting. Very exciting. This has become, it's probably not a good thing. It's not a good sign. It has become my son's favorite segment. He likes to rag Brad about his ability to pick L's. And last night was very locked in. Chris shouldn't be paying as much attention, but knew exactly what you had last night in that Celtics game. You had, 8.5?
Yes.
If not for a Caris LeVert. Don't mean anything.
Nothing.
Bucket
what
at the end.
I thought he was going to shoot a three.
They were up. Boston was up 9. They would have covered for you. We would have lost that because Brad would have won if not for that Caris LeVert bucket.
Some meaningless
two-pointer. We're going 1-1 last night. That's the breaks. It was a bad beat for Brad.
Bad.
But what it was for you that faded him was a beautiful win last night. Again, we mentioned the record now, 21-34. If you were fading, you're 34-21. Tonight, we have got two game fives. Very exciting. We know, not too much prep,
none,
but we know
really.
That the winner of game fives in the NBA playoffs in best of seven series go on to win that series 82% of the time.
It's pivotal,
so
you're
some
telling me.
Pivotal games tonight. Pivotal picks for yes. Brad Carson. We'll see if he can stay hot with the Ills tonight. We've got Pacers and Knicks. Eastern Conference semifinals, obviously game five. Pacers win their two back at home, obviously.
Yes.
And now we are back to New York. As a result, New York tonight, even shorthanded, a 1.5-point favorite. Now, that line's moved a little
yes.
bit. I think it was at 2.5 at one point.
Yeah.
It's now 1.5 over at FanDuel. Brad is looking. Brad is beginning the process. He's going to give us the pick.
All right. Villanova 3 is still in effect, if I'm not mistaken.
They're all intact. They're a little tired and worn down, but they are intact.
That is
Steven
key
Chinzo,
to this pick.
Hart, picks. And Brunson, yes.
This pick is based on the Villanova 3 that is still intact, despite Anunoby being out, despite, now this is according to ESPN as I just pull it up
Mitchell
here.
Robinson.
Dwayne Washington, not that he counts, but he's on the roster.
I'd like
I don't
to
think
mention those guys as well. That
you know,
that's
all listed. It's all listed.
Because they're on the list.
You know, Halliburton will play tonight, even though he's a game-time decision. Don't fool me, ESPN.
Oh, we said that about Donovan Mitchell yesterday, and
yeah,
we were all
he
on
put
that
a baseball
one.
Cap
Halliburton's
on.
Playing. This is game five.
Yeah, I mean, this is critical. And I was turned off a little bit by my pick when I was listening to you earlier this hour talking about the Knicks being banged up, and I was like, man, maybe I should change my pick. I will not change my pick for the people. You see the circle here. There's also been line movement. It's moved a little bit in the direction of the Pacers, it appears.
I thought so. I thought I saw 2.5 this morning, Knicks favorite. Now it's down to 1.5.
The game, according to ESPN, is at Madison Square Garden.
I'm glad you know where it is.
We got to know where his game's at. That's critical to any
in
picker.
Your process.
You know, as a loser.
Now, I made fun of you this weekend for this, and you went 3-1. So I'm not
going
to make fun of you for knowing where
here.
The games are.
I'm going with the Knicks, and you can go Knicks minus 1.5. If you are fading me, you got to go opposite, I guess.
The pick is in. Brad's got Knicks minus 1.5. You know what to do. If you were fading Brad, you're going to take Knicks plus 1.5, excuse me, Pacers mm-hmm. plus 1.5 to fade him. Moving on now to a game that you can hear right here live on 92.9 FM ESPN, right, starting at 9 o'clock airtime. How about
yes,
that,
sir.
Brad? I was able to tease that and get that in there.
Nugget.
Timberwolves Nuggets, very interesting game because it felt like the Timberwolves had all the control.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.